Ross Moment Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome to episode 230 of the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP230, presented by Bolin Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, and today I am joined in the studio by my co-host, Mr. Anthony Johnson, a.k.a. AJ, the artist formerly known as Intern AJ. AJ, what's up, buddy?
Gang, what's up?
How's it going?
It feels good to be here, man. Like, it's been a while, and it's you and me again, you know, just like the good old days.
Just you and I.
You and I, but also with some special guests.
Coming, yes.
They're who
coming.
Are much cooler than we are.
They will be coming. Coming. Hashtag coming. But you're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Now.
In the flesh.
AJ.
Yeah.
Here, now.
Yeah.
In the flesh.
Hey, so since this is a hip-hop episode, I guess we can dub it that.
Sure.
Have you heard the beef between Dame Dala and Shaq?
I have.
Did you actually listen to both the diss tracks?
No. I will not partake in pretend NBA rap beef.
Well, it's very much a real beef. At least Dame is taken as a real beef.
It's real beef in the sense that McDonald's burgers are real beef, but it's not real beef in the sense that anybody could actually get hurt at any point. Dame is an active NBA player.
He's also a very good rapper if you ever listen to his music. He's actually very good.
He's the best NBA rapper we've ever had.
And that's what spurred this whole beef. He said that on a podcast, and Shaq had to chime in. He's like, whoa, hold up.
Shaq was terrible.
Got a platinum album.
Kobe was the worst of all time.
Oh, easily. That's
Shaq likes to talk about his platinum album, but that album was shit, and he was a terrible rapper.
At the time, he was huge in rap, but I don't know if it was just because of his persona.
Because he was Shaq, dude. Like, there was nobody listening to Shaq like, man, this dude's got bars. Shaq is the next Biggie. Nobody ever thought Shaq was good at rap.
It might have been just
because he was Shaq.
It might have been just his brand because, you know, he was making movies at the time, too.
Absolutely.
And, like, commercials and all these endorsements and stuff. Like, he was just, like, that guy.
People forget that shit, but, like, Shaq, if your favorite athlete on your favorite team rolled the way Shaq did during his heyday with, like, the Lakers and shit, you would probably be annoyed because he was so distracted, like, seemingly always doing some other project.
Well, you know, just imagine if James Harden did that.
I know, and it's like, Harden does some shit, and
he's a little more low-key about it. He's not real, you know, he's not really out there.
These
like
guys
that.
All have so much to do, and they're so busy all the time. And then Shaq on top of that was like a fucking movie star, commercial dominant rapper. Like he was doing everything. And I would have, if I was a Lakers fan at the time, he dominated anyway. They won 3 championships anyway. But I'm just saying, it feels like, and I think he has admitted multiple times that if he had been focused and tried, like he could have got like 8 rings. But he didn't have to try that much. His God-given talent and ability was so much, and he was already so dominant.
Cast. The players around him, too, only elevated his status.
Sure, yeah, it helps to have Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade and shit.
Did you know that he owns stock in Papa John's?
I did. He's a huge...
Did you see the commercial?
He's a huge Papa John's guy now. He's, like, becoming... He, like, replaced Papa as, like, the face of the franchise because Papa turned out to be racist.
So is he going to change the name?
No. No, but I mean, like,
I wish he could change.
When they have commercials now, like, you're never going to see Papa John again.
Because you're just going to see Shaq? He's the new face of the company?
He said the N-word, so they brought in a huge black dude.
Oh, okay, that's a good PR move.
Yeah, yeah. He's the opposite of Papa John. Let me make sure that Papa John is actually racist before I call him racist on the show and get myself sued by a pizza mogul. That would be fucking stupid.
Hey, let me be clear. I still like Papa John's. Not Papa John himself.
Right.
But I love the pizza, so I don't think that's going to deter me from eating the pizza. I don't know if that's your answer.
Look, I typically separate my pizza from my pizza chain ownership, right? Like,
sure.
I'm not out here, like, researching Pizza Hut's founders to make sure there were no racists before I order Pizza Hut.
Well, any food.
Or anything. Or any product. That would
be talked about this before, like, with Chick-fil-A.
Too burdensome.
Chick-fil-A.
Sure.
I mean, you're a big fan of Chick-fil-A, right?
Well, I'm a big fan of Chick-fil-A, yes. And I also do not care what they do politically.
Exactly. That's the only point that I was trying to make.
I understand. It's,
the food is still good regardless. I just, that element of it is so stupid to me because now, I'm not going to stop eating the food.
Now, let me fucking clarify here, AJ.
The food is delicious.
I'm still
going to eat it.
If Chick-fil-A continued to do things like say that they were going to put money behind, like, oh, I don't know, making gay marriage illegal, then that's when it's time to start talking about,
well,
like,
yeah, oh, yeah, that is.
Are we going to eat Chick-fil-A forever? No. So I don't know where they're at with that. And I don't go very often anymore, frankly. Like, ever since Chick-fil-A became embroiled in all that type of bullshit, like, I don't like it. I don't want my fast food restaurants and my pizza chains to be racist and homophobic and tied up in all these political controversies or whatever. But I need food. And yeah, that's really good food.
And where else are you going to get your chicken sandwiches?
Popeyes. The non-racist Popeyes.
Well, not right now.
No, goddamn, what the hell? How long is this going to take?
I don't know.
I went into one 3 days ago. We still got all the...
Oh, yeah, I saw your tweet. You ate alone.
Yeah, it was depressing as fuck. Coming back soon. When is soon?
They're building anticipation.
It's the worst thing we have going in fast food right now that these restaurants feel like they're allowed to add menu items like the McRib or the Popeyes.
Yo, the McRib
chicken
is gross. I don't like the McRib at all.
I haven't had a McRib since, like, I don't know, 2002. I have no idea.
You're not missing out on anything.
Yeah.
Except a really bad stomach ache.
But this is, like, not a cool gimmick to me. To have a sandwich that should then be featured as one of the main items on your menu that everybody loves, and then you pull it? You take it from us?
Yeah, but just watch when it comes back, though. The payoff will be huge for them.
I mean, but for how long can we even expect it to be back, you know?
Who knows? Maybe the holiday season.
Well, we'll see. If you're new to the Ross Boland Podcast, almost every episode of our show is broken down into segments, which you can find with time cues below in the description. Now, some episodes are going to feature special guests. Today's episode is one of those episodes. We're going to have rap duo Blackalack in the studio with us shortly. These special guest episodes will tend to be a little more conversational, less segmented, but the idea is most of our episodes are structured in a way that makes them easy for you to digest, no matter your schedule, whether you have a 20-minute commute or an hour and a half, or you get these little breaks at work, or I don't know what the fuck your job is, or if you're just in school, it doesn't matter. The point is the show is built so that you can consume it at your own pace and in a way that makes it so it's not so difficult to figure out where you were when you last stopped listening or whatever, which is usually my problem with my favorite podcast. So you do not have to have listened to a single one of the preceding 229 episodes in order to enjoy RBP 230. But if you like today's show, there's 229 backlogged episodes for you to soak in and enjoy when you got the time. Get in there and have at it. Follow us on Instagram, at the Ross Boland Podcast, where every day we fill up our story with photos and videos sent in by you, our listenership, the RBP gang. We're also on Twitter, at Ross Boland Pod, and you can find us on Facebook if you're the middle-aged aunt of one of our listeners. RBP 230 is brought to you by Lisa. Your mattress may very well be the most important purchase you make for your home, for your domicile, your apartment, your house, your cave. It doesn't really matter. You need a great mattress more than you need a great anything else. Even a TV. Mattress is number one, TV number two. So if you don't even know where your mattress came from, if you don't wake up every morning feeling like you've won the lottery because your mattress is so damn comfortable, it's time to change up and go with a hybrid by Lisa. Lisa's hybrid is the most comfortable mattress I've ever laid eyes or body on. It's the bed I've had for a few years now, the most comfortable bed in the entire world. It's fantastic. Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life. Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you. And to Lisa, a bed is more than just a place to sleep. It's a place for relaxation and rest. All of their products thoughtfully designed to go beyond creating a comfortable bed to transform your bedroom into a sanctuary you actually want to spend time in. Their most advanced luxury hybrid mattress is made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. Thoughtfully designed with the best of both worlds, Lisa believes all people should have access to deep rest and relaxation, and as such, they make it easy for their customers to know they've made the right choice through their social impact initiatives tied to each purchase. They donate one mattress for every 10 they sell at Lisa through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. And to date, they've donated more than 33,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits. Lisa mattresses are made in the USA. In-home delivery and setup is available. Financing is also available. Do not miss out, RBP gang. Live healthier. Live happier by resting deeper. Order today and get 15% off any mattress for a limited time at lisa.com/RBP. Use the promo code RBP. That's LEESA.com/RBP. Promo code RBP. Keep in mind, you also get a 100-night risk-free trial plus free shipping and returns. Some announcements. AJ, you got any cool announcements?
None that I came with.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I don't really have any announcements today. T-shirt designs, if you got them, we still want them. Building up the old T-shirt design docket. Ross@rossbolandpodcast.com is my email. Holler at me if you want to get involved in graphic design, or if you want to get involved in video creation for us or whatever. We have got a Slack channel running that AJ built for us for all of our interns that we're going to be providing with like a little tutorial on what we want them to be doing over the next few days.
Yeah, so expect a lot more videos, especially with the Twitch thing that you're doing. A lot more Twitch videos is what we're going to have them doing. I'll probably partake in some of that myself. And then just, you know, more video clips from the show, especially now that we have video, like in-studio video footage.
Yeah, if y'all haven't been paying attention, we're going to have not every episode. We're still doing the ironing of the kinks and the fixing of the stuffs. But moving forward, at some point in the very near future, it will be every episode on video, live streamed on twitch.com/bossrolling. And then after the fact, only available on patreon.com/rossbolandpodcast. So if you want more RBP, you get two additional ad-free and exclusive episodes of RBP each month on patreon.com/rossbolandpodcast. And in the near future, that will be the only place you'll be able to get video. So you might as well join now. And when you join in October, you get the entire backlog of content on patreon.com/rossbolandpodcast, which, like, somebody was asking me about yesterday, like, hey, shouldn't it be that you only get the stuff for that month? And no, here's how it works. If you sign up in October and you get everything in October, that's dope. Now, if you don't sign up until January, you're going to get the stuff for January. And then, yeah, sure, you'll get the stuff from October too. But listen, you didn't get to hear it when it came out, and now you're way the fuck behind. So the idea is you stay up on everything as a dues-paying gang member, a subscriber of patreon.com/rossbolandpodcast, whereas otherwise, you may miss stuff, right? And some stuff you may never see, like these videos. We already got two videos, full video of episode 229 is available there right now, as well as a video called, an episode called Golf and Fatherhood that I recorded back a few months ago with the good men of Callaway Golf in Carlsbad, California. So there's already two full video episodes for you to watch if you go join right now on patreon.com/rossbolandpodcast. If you've ever been like, I don't have social media or the internet, I only have the podcast app, what does Ross look like? Now's the time to find out. You could see my face for the first time ever.
You won't be very impressed, though.
No, but
don't get your hopes up.
But you will see it, which is something, right? Patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast. Again, keep those t-shirts and anybody who wants to work in any capacity. I get people hollering at me constantly, and I tell every single one of them the same thing. If you're not looking for an internship, then in 2020 is when you want to holler. Not right now.
Also, just to add to that, if you're not ready to grind, then don't hit us up either.
That goes without saying. We don't want any fucking lazy people to holler.
Yeah, just because they want to be a part of the gang. You can't just join the gang if you don't want to put in the work. Well, I put in my fair share of work. You know, I guess humble brag, but I do a lot behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But we expect everyone that works for us as interns to, you know, do their part too.
For sure. No, I don't want to have to be...
It's a lot of moving parts, so we have to make sure this is a fluid running operation.
I don't want to have to be chasing you down to make sure you're doing your videos. I don't want to have to be hollering at you to make sure you're carrying your load. You need to do your shit or you'll get cut.
Simple as that, straight up.
You either work or you don't. Too many people want to come through and like try to get an internship because they think it'd be cool to have on their resume or because they want to talk to me or AJ or whatever, and it's like, that's great and I appreciate it, but this is actual, like, we need work being done. So if you just want to fuck around and play, holler at us on social media. Don't holler at my email or, like, come through saying you want an internship. But if you want an internship and you're down to grind and help be a part of what takes the RBP gang and this entire fucking podcast and then company of Bolin Media to the next level, holler at me, ross@rossbolandpodcast.com. That will do it. I don't have any amends. I'm not going to apologize for anything at the top of the show.
No, let's just jump right into it.
I don't remember anything off the top of my head. So
it's going to be a good episode.
Let's do it. I'm psyched. We're going to bring these two men in. We're going to talk to Blackalack and do a little interview. Here we go. Now we're joined by Austin rap duo Blackalack.
Blackalacky.
Comprised of, I mean, you introduce yourself as Z, but it's
Yeah. Zilly.
Zilly?
Yep.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Zilly.
Not Zeal.
Like Philly, Zeal. Like Silly, like Billy.
I'm Billy. I'm not Billy. I'm Ross. Yeah. But my first name's William, and some people call me Bill. This is getting confusing.
Oh, big Bills. Call him William.
So you are William. You're not really Ross.
No, man. I'm a Ross. I'm not a William.
He hates being called William.
Just saying.
There's too many Wills and Williams.
Just be who you are, man.
I'm Ross.
Bill's so big, I call him Williams, for real.
There you go. See? See? Missing out.
This is a good start. I like this. And you introduced yourself as Fran, but yeah. It's franchise.
It's franchise, but there's a lot of... Here's the issue. There's a lot of mid-tier rappers named Franchise, so mm-hmm. I kind of just kind of...
You're trying to differentiate a little?
I don't know. I think it's more of a natural thing. Everybody just calls me Fran, and so with the spelling of it, I think Franz is a nice transition, but formally it's Franchise. I do have people that still call me Franchise.
Do y'all go by your government name to anybody anymore?
Yeah.
Mom.
I mean, other than family?
Not really. Not me.
Like when you're introducing yourself to new people, it's always Fran, it's always me.
There's people that like...
Depends who's introducing them.
Okay.
Yeah. People like my kid's daycare. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's...
Call me Fran. Well, some of them do.
No shit.
Why not, I guess?
Those are your favorite ones, the ones that they call you Fran.
Yeah, some of them. They're cool.
Well, anyway, you want to do your government names or you just want to leave it at that?
No, with a music name.
People can
fuck
it
yeah, okay.
Trying to get the feds on me, Ross.
Well, I'm sorry, always. Let me see where I want to start. How'd y'all decide on those stage names or rap monikers or whatever you want to call them? Because... Oh, I always felt like this would be the most difficult thing for me, is if I had to pick, I couldn't do it.
Well, I had the luxury not having to pick. My story is real quick. But basically, in high school, me and all my homies had like a crew we used to kick it with, and we had a little name scheme that we applied to our first and last name. And my last name starts with a Z. And so Zilly was how my name fit into it.
Oh, that was easy.
And when I went to my first battle, my homie was throwing it, and he was like, yo, you're in the battle, you know, what's your name gonna be? And I was like, I'll just use my real name. And he was like, nah, fool, you can't use your real name. It's like Zilly. And I was like, cool. And I just kept it. So
ever since your first battle.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, that was easy. What about you?
I actually went through a lot of names when I very first started. I went through a lot of names.
Young Ashy.
Wow.
That's not one of them.
Good.
No, I went through a lot. And I was on the phone with one of my producers at the time. Still one of our producers, NIP, shout out Frank Moses. And I was like, man, I kind of like the name Franchise. At the time, I'm a big wrestling nerd. If you watch my Instagram story, I watch like wrestling, like classic wrestling matches.
Yeah, so
and
do I'll I.
Post what
oh, you're one, you one of these guys.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. So one of my favorite wrestlers is Franchise Shane Douglas.
Cool.
Right, from ECW.
Right.
And so I was really into ECW at the time.
Right.
And this is like 1999.
Yeah, this is a minute ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was really into ECW, and I'm a big sport. I like sports. Like football, basketball, baseball, hockey, like any sport. And the franchise player, the franchise, you know what I mean? That kind of whole thing.
Stevie Franchise?
Yeah, and he was really big at the time, too. He was really, so I was like, man, you know what? I'm just going to call it myself Franchise, but I'm going to spell it like this.
Right,
yeah. I'm going to spell it like this so it's different.
With and PH.
You know, the PHRANCHYZE.
Lil Kim is fat. With a PH.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty hot tipped.
You'll see Meet the Parents, right? That didn't just come out of...
No, you're good.
Oh, thank fucking God.
You're good. So yeah, that's where I got it. And I started doing battles at the same time he kind of did.
Okay.
Or a little bit after, actually. And so they were like, what's your name? And I was the same thing. I was like, just use my name. And I think, I want to say the first battle I ever did, I used my... regular name. I use like my regular name. I have a nickname that's not my regular name, but I use that.
Okay.
But everybody knows me as that.
Right.
So I use that. That was, and then after that, I did Franchise. Cause I was battling in Club Moon in Pflugerville.
Oh, Jesus.
And so I used my regular name for those battles.
Okay.
And then when I started doing battles in Austin, I started going by
Club Moon in Pflugerville.
Yeah, bro.
Sounds like some bullshit.
I wanted like five times. I wanted like five times, bro. No, this is like, cause Pflugerville's all the black people are.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That is true.
Like, that was stiff competition, dude. Like, that was like the early hood battles that I would go on to do later. That was like
Club Moon.
The breeding ground for them.
Where you cut your teeth?
Yeah, for sure.
Y'all have been friends since, what, middle school?
Middle school. Dog to the hooping days.
And then you went to Austin High School together.
he went to Austin. I went to Crockett.
You went to Crockett.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that. You mentioned that's where all the black people are out in Pflugerville. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of black people in Austin.
No.
Damn, you've
noticed, Ross.
You two being in this room right now, I think is like 30% of the black population of the city in one place. It literally, with every black person I've ever had on the show, we bring this up though, because Austin is so white.
It is.
It's disturbing. And like, I'm from Houston, and when I go back home, it's alarming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you hit I-10 and even pass into the city limits, yeah, and you're like, whoa!
Yeah, it's black people everywhere.
There are different color people everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And then you come back to Austin, and you're like, fuck! And it's a lot of the same vibe. A lot of white guys who look like me,
yeah,
who have podcasts and don't work normal hours.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, what the fuck was that like growing up?
I mean, when I was growing up, my mom did a lot of like community outreach, and like my mom's like a teacher and does like she had like a nonprofit that did like literacy programs,
okay,
and outreach. So we pretty much did a lot of, we spent a lot of time in the areas that were more black when I was a kid. So like all the areas that have been gentrified recently, like East 12th or by Keeling, all those areas were super, super black,
right,
all the way over till Manor.
I mean, even as recent as like, you know, a decade ago.
Yeah. So we spent a lot of time there. And so for me, like the was it Hillside Pharmacy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That used to be three different buildings, okay? That was Jeans, that was something in the middle, and then my mom had the space on the left, and we would run little programs in there. I laid the tile in there with my dad.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So to see that part of it is kind of sad, to see that.
What, the gentrification?
Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know, I have a lot of memories over there where, you know, and I feel like I kind of grew up, I'm from 4-5, like we're from 4, I'm from Southside, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I feel like I kind of grew up over there too.
Right.
You know, I grew up in 02, Rosewood, Manor, 2-3. My dad had a business on Manor for like 20 years. He just moved out of there.
No shit.
Yeah, so I don't know. On the one hand, it's sad. On the other hand, I don't know, man.
I don't either. It's like, I don't know what to make of
it. I mean,
shit.
They're all in Pflugerville, bro. They're still, they ain't gone nowhere. You just got to drive 20 minutes. You can go see them.
It's not that far.
It's not that far. But, you know, I think that's how it goes, man. I think that's how it goes. I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, and I talk about this all the time on the bus and when we're on the road, and
yeah,
everybody
you
gets
talking all the time.
Everybody gets mad at me when I say this, but it's true. When it comes down to it, man, listen, it goes like this, man. Black people, as a whole, particularly in the South,
mm-hmm,
okay, have very little generational wealth, okay,
right.
And so what that means is, you know, when stuff like gentrification happens, right, or the reverse of that, when like white flight in the 50s and the 40s happens,
right,
that means we're not going to be a part of it to a large degree. And that's,
yeah,
but you know, and everything in a capitalist system, everything has winners and losers, you know, and that part of it sucks. But, you know, I love Austin. I ain't going nowhere. It's not like it has.
Well, that's
like,
a weird, it's a
city.
Great city, yeah, but it's just got these issues like that. I mean, the racial, yeah, what's the word? Distribution is fucking bizarre. And it's something about it that's not right. This conversation reminds me of Killer Mike's Trigger Warning. Do either of y'all watch that shit?
Yeah, I watched it.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
It was good, and it, like, I think for white people like me, who don't necessarily have,
white?
Like, yeah, no, you can't tell, man, fuck.
I wasn't told that before.
I'm so tan. All right, y'all can go, though. I know you didn't know. I kept it a secret.
I'm out of here, man.
No, but it's just, like, there's so many different angles and pieces to that puzzle that I think, like, suburban middle class white people have no fucking clue about.
Yeah.
That stuff like that, the more documentaries, the more shows, the more conversations we have that sort of like close that gap, the better. Obviously.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a short answer to that. I like growing up with you white people. Thank you. You make the best lemonade, you have the best birthday parties.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
It was tight
you
growing
feel
up.
Me?
Those are the two things we do well.
But there's a lot of Mexican people too. That's the thing people don't talk about.
That is
like
true.
When I was growing up, we were black people, Mexican people, white people, Asian people, Indian people, like all in my neighborhood.
Okay.
Like my neighbors across the street were black. I had two lesbians that lived next door to us. Across the street was a gay white dude and a Hispanic dude. My neighbors to the right were Hispanic. We had Korean people that lived a catty corner to us,
no
and
shit.
Up the block you had the Indian dude.
Where the hell was this?
This is South 4-5, Southside, Epping Lane. And then we had Poppy on the corner that for Halloween would do hot dogs and give sodas and had a haunted house in his garage.
Nobody does. Okay, birthday parties for white people might be nice, but they're not as happy as a Mexican birthday party.
Mexican,
they're probably not.
No,
happy
you got to go
all,
to the
but...
Mexican kids' birthday party.
Yes, that's what I mean.
That's the live.
Oh, that's
the
live.
Yeah.
Not the adults.
Like, no, not the adults. The kids' birthday party. The
every
live,
adult
man.
Birthday party, even white people's, they get depressing. But children's birthday parties, that's
facts.
That's good shit. All right, back to music. This
hey, can I interject the
of
question?
Course,
real
of
quick?
Course, AJ.
Just kind of segue off of what you were talking about
Holler.
Earlier. You guys being a hip-hop act in Austin,
yep.
Obviously in Austin there's a lot of musicians, a lot of like rock bands, indie, punk, alternative.
Right.
What is it like being a hip-hop duo in Austin, you know, given that it's not an area that's super into hip-hop.
You think more, what, you think Gary Clark Jr. You think guitar, you think these hole-in-the-wall bars with bands doing their thing.
It's tight, bro. I'll let this fool, you know, give his perspective. But
oh, thanks, man.
It's tight, man. I like it.
I like it. Everybody thought that about Dallas till Post Malone came out. You know what I mean? Everybody has a different artist, a breakthrough for their city, and then it's a totally different story right now. Yeah, it's dominated by rock. It's dominated by
country,
yeah, probably country. Blues, jazz. You know what I mean? Yeah. A bunch of silly ass cover bands. But
no shortage of cover bands in Austin
wearing onesies and shit.
Yeah, but what the fuck?
I just feel like
that felt like a specific shot.
It can be an advantage or it could be a disadvantage, but I look at it as an advantage because, you know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of artists that we have to compete with here. At the same time, the disadvantage part of it is that there's no infrastructure for it. You feel me?
Yeah.
There's not like a big hip hop population in terms of people that come out to shows. That's maybe more or less, but in terms of people that support it, like structurally, like there's not a label here. There's not publishing here. There's not hip hop managers here. You'd be much better, in a much better position than somewhere like Houston, where hip hop has been embedding in the city for a long ass time. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
From like
I haven't really
Pat,
thought
UGK,
about it.
Paul Wall, Travis Scott.
Of course, yeah.
You know what I mean? What's homie's name?
Throw out some hints.
From the
what are you talking about?
From the record label there.
Group?
J Prince.
Oh, yeah.
So you have
now
people
he's
like,
gonna come murder all four of them.
Nah, he ain't coming after us.
God is
nah, he cool.
Name.
Nah, he cool.
He's cool.
I'm just
cool.
playing. I'm just
but
playing.
But yeah, you hear that J Prince, you cool.
Yeah, you're cool, bro.
We had Scarface on like
yeah, you know what's yeah. up. But that's what I'm saying. We don't have any heads like that here, so that is a disadvantage. But you
so
know,
do y'all ever go meet with them dudes in other cities in Dallas or Houston just to see like
I mean we link with a lot of different artists through music, you know what I mean? Whether that's doing shows in their city or out of town, we're doing some stuff, and a Texas artist rolls through, you get that immediate camaraderie.
Of course,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
we played with Face before times.
No shit.
I played with Ghetto Boys. We played with Face before, and I played with Ghetto Boys in San Francisco. So they're cool. They're always good dudes. R.I.P. Bushwick, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Bun B's legit with us. You know what I mean? Like,
Face
kind of
took a shit on Bushwick, like, on the show. It was bizarre.
Have
you met Bushwick?
No.
Did you meet him in the past?
No. And I understand that he was an incredibly complicated dude with
a lot
of demons.
He's a complex
dude,
bro. Yeah,
it was not. Dude. It was like, I'll put it to you like, I'm not going to speak ill of the dead. I'm not going to disrespect nobody. But at the same time, I'll put it to you like this, bro. Like, one of my best friends was working with him and like, hey, I'm bringing him over to your, you know, he brought him over to my crib, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, nah. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Because it kind of got a little bit like,
yeah, we had been in the circle with Bush the last maybe 2 years when he was here in Austin.
Okay.
And so we'd run into each other in the studio all the time, you know, at venues or whatnot. And, you know what I mean? At that point, he knew me, and like, he'd see me in frame, like, Fran, Zilly, what up?
What
you
up,
know what
dude?
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
And he's a good dude, but, you know, he had...
Demons,
complexity,
man.
Bro. Yeah,
yeah,
he had
listen,
shit.
As a guy who has a lot of those and has put his own people through a lot of shit, not to the degree that Bushwick did, but I know how that goes. And,
yeah.
I mean, and I know what Face meant when he was saying, like, the guy was an asshole because I'm pretty sure there will be people who say stuff like that about me when I'm gone too. And there'll be friends that I have that are conflicted about what my shit was and how I rolled. So
that
just is how it is.
He's a good dude, though,
Speaking of the label situation and everything about the infrastructure in Austin, though, Gary Clark Jr., who we brought up a couple times already, one of the most respected living guitarists, I guess, in the world, maybe living or dead.
I don't know.
Yep.
He's getting up there, but he's also an Austin High guy.
Yeah.
And explain y'all's relationship and how it came to be.
I mean, I've known the homies since we were like, man, about the same time I met this fool, Barry, a little bit before.
Yeah.
I remember I met him when we were in middle school, and he was practicing with another dude that was in a band in high school called Day Old Donuts, I think was the name of the band, named Gilberto. They were practicing guitar.
It's not a bad name.
Yeah, it was good.
Day Old Donuts.
Day Old Donuts, yeah. And I said to him, I said, man, you're pretty good. And he's like, thanks.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and he played basketball, and I played basketball. And so we were cool. And
he's a tall motherfucker.
He's tall, bro. He's tall.
He's tall.
He's tall. Not, we're about the same height. I think I'm a little taller than him. We're about the same height.
You're a tall motherfucker, too.
I'm tall, yeah. He always wears those big boots, too.
That's true.
So he's always trying to like, I'm like, okay, take the boots off.
Yeah, chill out. Chill out, Gary.
Take the boots off. So I had known him through that and then through high school. And then when we were in high school, that's when he really started to kind of get his feet wet and really started to make, he really started to do his thing.
There were waves.
Yeah, really both of us, but it was on a bigger level for him, obviously.
Okay.
He, like our two we were talking about earlier, the music he did, it was like ready made for the town. Yeah. Right. They were like ready to like, oh yeah, here you go. You know what I mean?
It was just, that's too easy to pack it
up. Yeah, right. Yeah. So he started really making moves when we were still in high school. And it was cool, man. And so I've just known him since then, and I just kind of watched him ascend. I'd go hang out with them, different cities, you know, going to different shows, you know what I mean? Like, we've had a lot of conversations, man. Like, he shot that photography for my first ever solo album, you know, when he still lived on the South Side. I'd go to his house and hang out.
No shit.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah. We had a lot of conversations early on, man, and I kind of told him, like, hey, man, you need to, like, get ready, bro, because this shit's about to be crazy.
For him?
Yeah, and he was like, what do you mean? I'm like, man, I just think it's going to be crazy, bro.
Yeah, the shit used to be way different. I linked up with G probably a little over 10 years ago when we were all just kind of running around first starting to do music, you know what I mean? And we would go to each other's shows. So, like, G and Zapata, who plays with him, mm-hmm. And some other homies, you know, they would play at Antone's or wherever, and it would literally be like me, Fran, and a few other people in the crowd. You know what I mean?
Dude, that...
Like, you're talking about 15 people, 20 people at the shows. And so we would all just go to each other's shows.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I remember at one point, we were playing some party in
Mercury Hall, right?
Yeah, and Gary was like, I'm a drum for y'all. We're like, all right. So Gary's drumming while we're rapping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's always been like a close, supportive, like homie type relationship between all of us, man. And just being able to see where he's grown and gone and his evolution, you know, we've been a part of that the whole time. So it's cool now that we get to kind of flip the script and bring up the project that we're doing and starting to push that out there.
Of course. You know? So is he still doing production with y'all, or what is the...
Yeah, we have a lot of unreleased music with
Because he's done
Gary
a lot of vocals for y'all too, and choruses and stuff.
I mean, he did the production and the singing, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, he's all over it.
When you mentioned a project, what's that?
Well, we have a nice collection of music that's just with us and Gary. So we're trying to figure out exactly how we want to push it all out, but it's coming.
Still working out the creative angle of how you want to do
it. Yeah, we just want it to be dope. We want to make sure when we drop it, it's hot, you know, period.
And in terms of label right now?
Yep.
Do y'all have a label?
Nope.
No.
So you operate completely independently?
We indie.
Now, is that how you guys are going to choose to be, like, just going forward, or just,
we'll
just kind of see where the cards...
Hey, everybody got the price, bro. Everybody got the price.
It depends. It depends. Honestly, it depends.
But you guys intend on staying in Austin, though? Like, you don't plan
on making
a move to...
I'm in L.A., bro. I moved to L.A. a year ago, but I represent Austin.
Yeah.
I was born and raised here. I mean, shit, I've been here more than most people that have, you know, moved here in the past, obviously, like 10 years or whatever.
Well, if you were
like,
born here, shit. Dude, you struggle to find somebody who's been here, like, longer than 10 years.
I'm a black unicorn, bro.
They're trying to slide, it in on you real quick. Like, oh, I'm from Austin. You'd be like, oh, word?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, where are you from? Because I'm like a Crip, bro. When I hear it, I'm like, oh, yeah, where are you from, bro?
Yeah, you want some of this shit?
I'm from 4-5, bro. I'm from the South Side. Like, where are you from? I want to know.
Yeah.
You know, like, fuck that. Right. I want to know.
That was a fucking competition.
And I want to fucking know, you know? And they're like, oh, no, I'm really from fucking Katy. I'm like, yeah, you are. Don't fucking claim
So yeah, the roots are here, though, but yeah. Me going out to LA was just part of us trying to expand more and just, you know,
to continue making moves.
Yeah. We both couldn't stay here.
Right.
That makes sense from a strategic standpoint.
Yeah.
I can understand that. This episode of RBP is also brought to you by Public Rec, where indoor comfort meets outdoor style. Made from incredibly soft fabrics, their pants especially can be worn from the couch to the office, but all of their clothes are incredibly comfy and good looking. They have over 5,000 five-star reviews. If I had to pick a product to focus on and talk about from Public Rec, it would be their all-day, everyday pant. This is kind of their staple product, if you will. It's crafted for guys on the go. Whether you're in back-to-back meetings, heading to the gym, or hitting the outdoors, you can do it all in comfort and style, whatever the dress code. It's a more stylish alternative to sweatpants, so you don't look like a bum. But it's a more a comfortable alternative to jeans so that you can actually, like, do shit and move your fucking kneecaps. Free shipping, free returns. You get 10% off your whole order at Public Rec when you go to publicrec.com/Ross. That's P-U-B-L-I-C, rec.com/Ross. RBP gang, 10% off. You got to love that. Grab yourself some of those all-day, everyday pants. They just hit different. PublicRec.com. Use the code Ross. 10% off your purchase, plus free shipping. Y'all, constantly, people hit me up during this fall and winter, especially when it cools down. Where do you get your pants? Where are those pants from? Where are those pants from? A lot of the time, the answer is Public Rec's all-day, everyday pant. They're unbelievable. So fucking comfortable. They look so much snazzier than they should based on their comfort level. Love them. PublicRec.com/Ross. PublicRec.com/Ross. 10% off your purchase, plus free shipping. Fantastic shit. Check out everything else they have too. Public Rec's awesome. All day, everyday pant, arguably my favorite. Everything else they have, also awesome. So in terms of making music, what are y'all's two roles in making your music? How do you break out, like, in terms of writing, in terms of sure. beat making, in terms of all that shit?
Sure. Well, first, we argue for 20 minutes.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, yeah. Of course, you got to fucking argue.
You got to come up with the best shit, you know what I mean? So you got to smash ideas together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You feel me?
So is there a lot of that between y'all collaboratively?
Yeah. Just, I mean, we sit down with our producers and we go to work, man. I mean, we basically throw... We listen through what production we have at hand, and we pick the dopest shit, and then we throw the best ideas at it, and whatever one comes out on top, then boom, and we go. And we just try to make every song as hot as possible, man. You know what I mean?
Like, and you work on it until it's done, or is there? Or do y'all have sort of like, all right, we want to knock out song by song by this time or date or whatever?
We have, I mean, see, me and him have two different methods, right? Like, I like to put in the time to make it just, I like to go as deep as I can into it. Okay. And he likes to be efficient. He likes to get shit moving, right? So between that, we balance it out. And what happens is, you know, we'll knock out maybe three songs in a session, and then we'll come back later and do post-production. All right, let's add some drops here. Let's change this. Maybe we'll switch this up, whatever, whatever. So we just try to cook it, you know, from both methods and make sure, you know, it's dope. And then we'll put that away for a week or two and then listen to it later. And if it's still hitting, it's good. If it's not, all right, well, let's figure out why not. You know what I mean?
I love that method of, I wish I could do that with my show, but I can't. This will be out in like 2 hours.
Work out very well.
Yeah.
No, but for real, with writing, when I used to be more of a writer. I wrote a book
used
at one
rap,
point.
Ross, used
no,
rap,
not
dog?
Not like music, like like yeah,
Houston. Now, Houston, no.
Hey guys, you want to do some rap together? No, rap. Man, this is not going to turn into me promoting myself to try to become a rapper. That'll be another episode. Next time we have y'all on, I'll do that. But
okay.
No, that is how writing works for me too, though. Like, I like to write shit, and then I like to let it breathe, and then come back and look at it, and then rework it like 1,000 times until somebody rips it out of my hands, and then I can't touch it anymore. Yeah. So I need somebody like you who makes me fucking move forward with it, because that's what I had in my literary agent at the time. Anyway, yeah. Stylistically, it's just interesting how creative people always have. Some people want to go, 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 bang, 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 bang. And some people are like, no, I want to fuck this for months before I allow it out back into the world or whatever. Yeah. If you're looking at the rap game right now, and I mean big picture, like nationwide or whatever.
Okay.
International now. You gotta go international now.
Okay.
There's shit
fair
popping
enough.
Overseas, yeah.
Fair enough, fair enough. Okay, what overseas, where in particular are you most?
UK, man.
Yeah, it's mostly the UK. Yeah.
There's some French guys really getting it too.
There's some African rappers.
I don't speak French, so
there's some African rappers.
Yeah. There's some German dudes really getting it right now.
Yeah, it's tough if it's not in English.
The UK is the next biggest one, the next biggest market.
Yeah. The UK dudes, like they got Stormzy and shit who's been out there.
I mean, bro, you got a bunch of fucking Mexican rap, bro.
Mexican
Bad Bunny, those guys are killing it.
Yeah, my homeboy.
I would say that second.
You mean down in Mexico?
Yes. My homeboy Keith Corona, shout out Keith Corona, shout out live from 78745. He goes back and forth, and he was just, and I saw him at ACL, and he's like, bro, I've been down there just like getting beats from dudes in the States, because it's like there's dudes really spitting down there. I listen to a lot of different rap, bro.
Yes.
And I listen to a lot of like cholo rap, you know? And that a lot of that is like tied to Mexico, like Sad Boy and stuff like that's like tied to Mexico.
Sure.
Dude, you go online, there'll be Mexican rappers with 100 million, 200 million
easy.
Views.
What?
Easy.
And you never
easy,
heard of them.
Bro. Yeah, never heard of them. The whole thing's in Spanish. It's like some gang shit, but still.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the same shit as they're doing here.
Yeah. It's like some gang shit.
It's some gang shit, but it's like.
Well, okay. Let's talk about that. The Tekashi 6ix9ine situation and everything that just went down there. Look, we don't have to delve into it to the degree that, like, let's pretend.
We care.
But that is an important element of, like, I would argue that whole shit, that angle, that the gang shit that's going to take a dude and then use him to prop themselves up, and then it turns out the gang is incredibly unorganized and awful.
The gang is the right way and the wrong way to do any fucking business, you know what I mean? And... The gang shit has been done before. It's still being done now.
Right.
You feel me?
You
but
right.
It's done the right way. This fool's just, you know, he's just an idiot, bro. Like, yeah.
All right, well,
he didn't
you,
do it the right
if
way.
If him and that is the worst thing in rap, what's better about 2019 going into 2020? What's good about the rap game right now versus any other time in y'all's career?
Okay, the first thing you got to look at is the amount of rappers, mm-hmm. right? That's a really good thing because it gives you... it gives you a bunch of different perspectives, and the culture itself will show you where it's going. So, all right. So, until 10 years ago, the record labels were like, we're going to put the culture this way. We're going to push the culture that way. And a lot of people complain about that in the early 90s when they had a real chance to like push the positive and they pushed the gang shit, which
yes.
maybe fucked some shit up.
Right.
You're seeing the opposite of that now, where the internet, we've been in the offices. Like, you know, we have friends in there. They're cool, but it's not like they're grinding like they were in 96. You know what I mean?
It's a different
like,
deal.
It's a different deal. So, like, the number of rappers is the difference.
Right.
The overall quality, I think, is higher than it was, you know, in the early 2000s, maybe even like until recently, because I feel like the software exclusive software 10 years ago is mainline BS software. You don't even need it.
And these kids know how to use it.
They know how to use it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
that's
so
the crazy
the
shit.
The recording quality's better. I like that there's a lot of creativity. There's always going to be BS. In any era of rap, there's BS.
In any area of art,
yeah,
too.
BS. Yeah. But I think, like, I just love the creativity. I love the number of rappers. I love that I can find rappers from every city, every state. You know, because I feel like that's a big part of rap. Like, I want to see how you're living in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Right.
I want to see how you're living in Alaska. I want to see how you're living in Nebraska. You know, I've been listening to some rappers from Toledo. Like, there's a little crew of rappers from Toledo that are nice.
How much fucking rap do you listen to?
That's all, I'm telling
awesome
you, bro.
Like it does, dog. Wrestling and rap.
No shit.
That's it.
And Monster
what
Hunter.
What I personally like about rap right now is like there's like a certain subgenre that it can be broken up into to where there's, if you're a rap fan, there's something for you, whether you want like the trap rap or you want like more indie or like, you know, like
more,
Chance the Rapper, like more positive vibes.
More of those subgenres than there have been like.
That's why it's wide open, man.
Yeah.
I mean, to get back to your question, it's wide open right now. Like, that's what's dope about it. Because everybody has access to these tools to record shit, whether you fuck with their particular style or not, it means the game is open, right? So you can be just about any identity or persona or subgenre of hip hop and have a lane. You feel me?
Fair enough.
And you have the vehicle to get to people, which is social media, internet, whatever.
And that's the part that's so fascinating to me is like everybody rips on these SoundCloud rappers and wants to come at it. But look, we're going to get really good shit out of there. There's going to be a lot of trash to make fun of and want to fucking chop your ears off.
Need someone like X come out of there. You know
that's where people, that's where it's going to come from in the future is all of these, all y'all are going to come from the internet because nobody wants to fuck with the old way of doing things.
I mean,
the
shit's now. It's because it's coming from the internet now, right?
Right.
And it's also, motherfuckers are blowing up on like TikTok, blowing up.
That shit,
not just Instagram. So
it melts my brain.
Yeah, it's trippy, bro. But you have to understand like the way media moves, wherever the people are, wherever your crowd is, that's where you have to be.
Right.
You feel me? And if it's a bunch of young ass kids on TikTok and those are the fools listening to hip hop, then you need to be in that circle. And that's just what it is.
I could not agree more. I'll give you an example from my angle is like all my kids, all my demo is still 18 to 24. It always has been like my whole 8-year career or whatever. And like,
you Snapchatting and shit a few years
ago. I'm still in there, man. But now I'm in Twitch, like with all these motherfucking kids
Twitch
playing video
shit,
games
bro.
And Twitch. And I'm deep
we've been talking. We got some ideas for Twitch.
Twitch is sick. It is a lot of fun. It's fucking complicated, but like y'all strike me as guys who know that shit a lot better than I would. Let's talk about y'all's some. I guess when you were kids and you were listening to music, what rappers inspired? What?
Just thinking.
Oh, about who you even like?
You're just unlocking doors and shit.
Okay,
dog.
Well, like I guess if you had to pick a couple of the most influential to y'all. Rappers that you looked up to and said like, damn, I respect what this person is doing and would appreciate if I could have a similar career.
I'm gonna answer first because I know this fool has like 50 rappers he's gonna list.
Okay.
I would say, and this is not in any type of order, Wu-Tang, Biggie, Pac, Mos Def, Outkast. No, I'll just stop right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's.
Oh, and M. I can't leave Eminem off there.
You can't leave Eminem off. No.
All right. I mean. Damn.
These are influential when I was young.
For you.
The first shit I would hear is rap.
That's
I was
what
like,
I mean.
Oh, okay. That's rap. That's
right,
crazy.
Right, okay. Right.
Yeah.
The stuff that like put it in your head like, oh shit, this is exciting and I like this musical genre.
Yeah.
Outkast, Wu-Tang, M, Tech N9ne.
Tech N9ne.
Paul Wall, Chamillionaire,
How long did you think Paul Wall was black before you realized he was white?
I knew he was white.
He always sounded white to me.
Every black dude knew he was white.
Yeah, we knew he was white.
We didn't know. White people
Because that's why he was tight. Because we like, the whole screw mixtape culture, like, we already knew he was white. Because people would be like, yeah, I saw him at the mall. You know, people
white.
Because remember the whole thing was, where is Paul Wall? Like, the whole thing when he first popped up. And so people would be like, hey, and that was a real thing. Like, yo, I saw him here. He's a white dude. He had braids. Yeah. Like, for real? Dude, yeah. And nobody knew, because nobody knew what he looked like. Because it was all screwed. Everybody thought he was a fat white dude.
Yeah.
And he's like this little short guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was chunky back in the day when he was deep into lean.
He's skinny as hell now.
As they all were before we lost half of the fucking SUC to drink.
I was big in the screw, bro. I was big in the screw.
Who wasn't in the South?
Yeah,
listen, I can't really like mess with screwed and chopped music too much because I'm like I'm a high strung person. Like I'm tweaking out most of the time, and that's just too slow for me. Even when I'm high, I cannot fucking. I need it to be faster paced.
Right. Yeah,
that being said, I love so much of his non slowed down shit, and obviously understand and have a great deal of respect for what he did for the game, especially in my hometown and in Texas as a whole. Rap duos. You mentioned a couple already.
Yep.
Y'all being one.
Yep.
And being able to look at the pretty store. I mean, it's a list. It's not a very long list.
It's not a lot of duos for sure.
But the ones that you pop into my head, like one of my favorite rappers in the world is Pusha T.
Sure.
And Clips at its prime.
Clips was dope.
Was one of the things that got me obsessed with rap. No longer just like listening, like, oh, I really like this music. Like, to where I've heard Hell Hath No Fury probably,
I was gonna say, I'll work
I don't know,
out.
200 times.
Mr.
Yeah.
Lee!
Yeah. Dude, that album is sick. And and it's on, I don't know what to make about the clip situation. Anyway, that being said, best rap duos that y'all look at and you're like, those motherfuckers are either doing it right now the right way or did it the right way in the past. An Outkast being obvious.
Yeah, Outkast, Black Star.
Black Star, yeah.
You mentioned Mobb Deep. Did you mention Mobb Deep? No.
Mobb Deep's cool. I wasn't really a big Mobb Deep fan.
I feel like that was mostly East Coast people, right?
I mean, I liked it all. You know, I love Wu-Tang.
It was mostly East Coast,
but it was there at Queens.
Yeah, like, Wu-Tang translated more, though, to...
Yeah, I liked don't get me wrong, bro. I like a lot of, like, straight New York, like OGC, like Duck Down, Eastern Conference. Like, I like a lot of straight up, like, New York stuff.
I don't even know what
the... Ross,
I just didn't like Mobb Deep that much. But
I got you.
Meth and Red, but I don't know if you'd really call it a duo.
That's a duo, bro.
That counts.
They have a classic hip-hop song.
Okay, I say Meth and Red.
Meth and Red. Who were we just talking about? Clips.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. Clips is like one of my favorite duos.
Maybe I don't know many more beyond that, bro, to be honest.
Dude, Clips and Outkast are the two that are, well, UGK.
UGK.
Okay, yeah.
You never think of them as a rap duo, though, for some reason.
Because they have so much, I mean, they
but
have
they are.
Yeah.
Very clearly. Mine right now, another one that I look at when I see y'all doing your thing, it makes me think of Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels are beasts. Yep.
Killer Mike and LP. I saw them at the Paramount here.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was fucking
beast.
I saw Gary there too recently, by the way.
Okay. Yeah.
And I feel like y'all might have been there.
We were probably there.
We're hanging out there. Is it Paramount?
Over
a year ago, a little over a year ago?
Yeah. Because I was reading a story.
That's when we started this shit, bro.
Y'all went to his hotel room or some shit and like he played y'all some beats.
Yeah, and we're like, these are okay.
Fucking talk about that night a little bit. What the hell happened there?
We were at the Paramount, and I wasn't going to go.
Did we just talk about the entire story already?
We were at the Paramount, and I wasn't going to go. I was like, I'm not going. And I think he texted me like, hey, bro, you should come. And I was like, man, I don't want to go. And he's like,
quit being a hoe. Pull up.
What's the big deal, bro? I'm like, all right. So I go, and I'm like chilling, and he's there, our homeboy Gabe Luna.
But y'all are like backstage.
Yeah, we're hanging out.
So at this point, I mean, you're not rapping together yet.
No, I'm not even really
rapping, period.
No, I stopped. I didn't quit, you know, but I slowed down because I had my kids.
Right.
I was working for Google Fiber, bro. I was just working.
No shit.
Yeah.
I got Google Fiber.
Oh yeah, that's great. I had played like a couple shows, you know, just like here and there.
Right.
But you know, I feel comfortable in saying that my solo career was winding down.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, and I was fine with that.
Well, but so that night for y'all was just what? Like,
I was just going to hang out
with a buddy.
Yeah,
we're going to kick it and watch it.
Hang out, bro.
Happens to be one of the biggest guitarists in the world.
We're going to support our homie and congratulate him and show love for the shit he's been doing, all the work he put in.
I've been to a show before. You know, I've never been to a show.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, that's for me. Like, if I got to go to the Paramount and hang out backstage with Gary Clark Jr. On a random night, that'd be a huge night. For y'all, it was like,
I mean, we do it all the time. We do it all the time. But we knew it was a special night because it was Paramount.
Right.
And that's
exactly.
Yeah, that's a special staple here in Austin. Yeah.
It is my favorite indoor venue.
Right.
In Austin, Stubbs is still my favorite outdoor venue.
Stubbs is
for whatever reason, I fucking love Stubbs outdoors.
Paramount's dope.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go to the show.
Yeah.
He performs.
Yeah.
And then after the fact,
kick it. He's like, "Yo, y'all need to, you know, let's all kick it at the hotel afterwards."
Go to the hotel.
Driscoll, I think.
No, it's W.
W. Okay.
Both sick.
And then we go.
Oh, nice.
Nice. So yeah, so we go and kick it, and yeah, man, like we're there. A bunch of homies are there. We're eating pizza. We're chilling and shit, whatever. And G's just like, "Yo, I've been working on these beats while I, you know, I've been on the road, but while I'm on the bus, I just pull out the NPC and work on these beats." Blah, blah, blah. We're like, "All right, dog. Well, fucking, let's hear it." And he starts playing beat after beat after beat, man. And
dead sober.
Nah, everybody's a little on it, a little sauced up.
This doesn't sound like three dudes sitting in a room sober.
Nah, no, it was about 15 people in there.
We were deep. I was definitely eating pizza, though.
Yeah. You know.
That's all you need to
blunt,
do.
Blunt, you know, blunt passing, music blasting.
Of course.
And so we just started. That's the first time we heard the production, and it was one of those moments where, you know, I hear music all the time, but when you hear a dope beat, you kind of get that, like, little neck jerk. You're like, oh, shit, what is that? And that hit a few times, and I was like, all right, man. I was like, this shit's dope, you know?
So did you just start, were y'all going in on these beats?
Yeah, we're just sitting there freestyling,
the
eating pizza.
People in the room.
Yeah.
People were just like, and everybody was like, man, these beats are
I'm sure someone filmed that shit. Somebody had to film that.
Was everybody jumping in, or was it just y'all?
No, it was just us.
Gary was hopping in, and Gabe was hopping in.
Gary got rhymes, Gary can flow.
So it's like, you know, it's
and our homie Gabe, bro. Our homie Gabe Luna is the Terminator for the new Terminator movie coming out in November.
So he was
and that fool was rapping too.
Yeah, he was rapping too.
That's just funny.
He's actually the Terminator?
Yeah.
The Terminator. You seen the trailer? The Terminator?
He's playing the
Mexican fucking Terminator, bro.
Movie, Ross.
Yeah. I'm aware of the movie. This is shocking and random.
Southside
too? Weird ass life with
that's
small
my homie since third grade. Southside, that's family, right? Dog.
No shit.
Oh, yeah.
South Austin, dude. What the fuck? We're trying to tell y'all, bro.
Damn, we're really doing it.
Yeah, we are.
We're really fucking doing it. And so the crazy part, Gabe.
The crazy part.
Oh, shit, it is.
It wasn't like that night. We were like, we're going to be Black-a-lack. You know, I was still kind of like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
So we like, I don't even know how.
It took a month after that before we actually got into the studio.
Yeah.
And we went down to Arlen's studio. Our homie Chris was like, you know, look, I'm going to put you guys in the room. You guys are going to do some shit, you know, like make it happen.
Yeah.
And it was just shit. I think we were in there the first time for like a week and a half. And then we chilled for a week or two, came back for another week and a half. And we were just loading in the tracks and writing music, man. Just going at it.
And
you've
been doing it.
And I still was like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? And then
you were half in, half out.
Yeah, because I was like, look, man, you know, like
I got kids.
Yeah, dude. And it's like you know, it's a whole thing I'm not gonna get into. But
yeah.
I just knew like I was just like, you know, hey man, everybody's path is different, you know?
Right. Sure.
And, you know, like it's important to me to be able to be there for my family. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And so, like, I didn't want to, you know, I read an article at Bun B a long time ago, and he said something that I always kept with me, and he said, never put the music over your family. You know what I mean?
It's an important lesson.
Yeah.
With any job.
Right, right. Don't ever put it over your family. And so I didn't want to be one of these guys that's like, oh, I'm a rapper, you know, and then you got
fuck everything else.
Yeah, and you got kids, and it's just like, and you know, because I saw them coming
up. The entertainment hustle in particular, like in any area, acting.
Yeah. I didn't want to be on the entertainment hustle.
And then you can let it absorb, it takes over everything if you want it to. Yeah.
And I knew that, you know, and I was like, nah, I'm gonna draw the line, you know?
Yeah.
And, I think we recorded some stuff and we played a show, dude. We still didn't even have a name. We played a show.
How do you do a show with
that
name?
I got some jokes about the name, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. We didn't have a name, dude. And we played a show during South By at Arlen, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, man, they got me.
You're like, fuck.
That's when I was like, shit.
Yeah.
It feels
and
too
we did
good.
Some, yeah. We did some shit at... what's that spot on the east side?
Native Hostel was
Native
the first
Hostel,
show. Yeah.
And at that point, like Statesman pulled up.
Yeah.
Some media outlets pulled up. They were taking pictures. We were doing the show. It was a much bigger turnout than we thought it would be.
Okay.
And we were like, oh shit. We were like, okay.
I think my boy is CK the owner of Native Hostel.
I think he's part.
Do y'all know CK?
Yes, yeah, a homie.
CK's in our.
I was chopping with him the other night.
CK's in our Juice It Up video.
Yeah, he has a cameo.
Yeah. He plays the villain. He plays Big. What do we call Big Chew? Big
oh
Chew.
Man, I forgot. I saw him put up an Instagram.
Yeah.
So he's been on my show a few times. He's like a
friend of the podcast.
Weird, good friend of, but like we only talk for business purposes.
That's funny. We were cracking each other up. We were just quoting Friday the whole time.
Yeah.
We were trying not to laugh on camera. It was really funny.
Like a 6'8" Chinese dude.
He's a man.
Man.
Yeah, I love that guy. Yeah.
Shit, what were we talking about?
Well, you were at Native Hostel.
Native Hostel.
That was where y'all
pulled up, and they did like they ran out. I saw the article in my car. Yeah. They like ran an article. They did the whole thing. They pulled up, and that's when I realized.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna have to deliver something here.
Right.
But then when we played that show, is when I realized like no, this is bigger than.
And then we got locked into South By, and we played a handful of shows, and the shit was crazy. Yeah. And we were like, all right, this is dope. And then about maybe two or three months after that, there was this thing called the Wind Down. Was it the Wind Down? Or it was some festival with food. And I was like, all right, like whatever, it's going to be a good payday. Let's do it. Hot luck.
Yeah.
Hot luck.
It was like the first year they'd done it, so nobody knew about this thing. So we show up to the show. This is at like Barracuda, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, there was nobody really in the room. There's a band on stage. There's maybe 15 people there. I was like, all right, whatever. It's back to the shit.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we roll up on stage. We get on stage, sound check, and I look up right before about to start. The room filled up, like 350, 400 people.
Ooh, wow.
Just whoosh, and some of them already had Black Lag hats and merch and shit on. And I was like, what the fuck?
And
this fool was like, who are these people here to see? I was like, nigga, they're here to see us.
Yeah. I said, oh, for real? I said, okay.
And we did the show. We killed it. People were rocking. And as soon as we got done, they cleared out.
So, like you really genuinely didn't think, this room's going to fill up?
No.
Because we're just going to do this, and we're going to have fun with it and see what happens. Fuck it. Okay, so then why'd the room fill up?
I don't know. The sauce, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, obviously the sauce, but like, I mean, you have to get the sauce out there for anybody to know it exists. So what was it that got the room filled?
I think we had maybe one or two tracks online at the time, but I think, you know, some of the buzz from South By and Statesman and things
just
like
carried,
that.
And you built just that carried momentum? Over.
Here's the thing, man, is like every major city in Texas has someone in the hip-hop game to root for. You
sure,
feel me?
Absolutely.
Austin does not. Like, we don't have that artist or that rapper now that
really
people get behind.
That. Well, right. You.
Right, exactly. That's what we're trying to position it as. And people want someone to root for, and we are not the standard type of hip-hop artists. You feel me? Like, we're not super fucking hood, although we have some of that texture, but we're also not, you know, some poppy bullshit either. And that's kind of right in the middle where Austin wants to fuck with it. You feel me? Like you said earlier, there's a lot of white people in this city, mm-hmm. right? So you can't be too dripped up, too thug, or they're going to be scared. And that's just the reality. And that's just the reality.
I say white people love that
shit. They
love that shit.
How long is this in the music?
Yeah, exactly.
Not in their lives.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying is like, you know, we're not in the music videos pointing fucking texts and guns at the camera,
right?
So it's safe enough where they can fuck with it, come out, support it, whatever. And that's, it kind of struck that balance. So now I feel like the people who are in this city that fuck with rap, they have someone they can root for because they can relate to it. And then you just add to the fact to it that we're from this motherfucker. Like, this is...
Dude, I mean, what,
this is
that,
the, you know?
That angle is very much working because it's the reason I became aware of y'all is because these dudes at my old company that I used to work at, I mean, it was literally, it was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And they brought y'all up and started talking about how y'all had gotten your thing going. And I was like, okay, Black-a-lack. And then, like, it's a really... Obviously, a very memorable. Yeah. It's a good name. Good job.
This guy right here.
Jokes about the name. What were the jokes at?
We had some options on the table.
I almost named this fucking podcast "Rolling with Bolin." So don't feel too bad.
Damn.
Hit me with your options.
That's not that bad.
See, no, you think it's good. You think it's good.
Yeah. I got your rapper
it's a
name,
tricky
by the
name.
Way.
No, fuck. What is it?
It's Sauce Ross.
Oh.
All right.
It's kind of dope.
That can be your new nickname.
I can handle that. I can handle that.
So one of the original, we had a few different names in the pot. And my whole thing with a name is like, I was like, look, I just remember watching documentaries and shit where they're like, the name is like the magic. Like that shit has to encompass everything. You feel
sure.
me? And we know we want this shit to outlive us in a way. Like we want to create a brand. Like obviously the music is
that's
key.
What it is at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah. We want that brand. We want to go multimedia. We want to do all kinds of shit. So it needed to be something that popped. And what I thought immediately, I was like, yo, if I'm at ACL and some little fucking teenage white kid who looks kind of cool
so Westlake
says
kid.
This name, am I going to want to go see it? You feel me? And so I thought, if I see this little kid and he's like, oh, we're about to go to Black Elect, they're on the stage, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Black Elect, who the fuck is that? All right. So that was one of the reasons, but also the alliteration of it, like, it just feels good as a word. And then if you actually look the shit up in the Urban Dictionary, a Black Elect is defined as a Cadillac that's styled by a fresh African-American. You feel me? So, and then
it says that on...
Yeah, look it up in Urban Dictionary. And then it also says below it, it uses it in a sentence, and it's a white person, and he says, yo, that Black Elect's dope. Where can I get one? And the black dude replies, you can't, you white.
Shut the fuck up.
Look it up, Urban Dictionary. Look up Black Elect.
Oh my God, that's you're not hilarious. Joking. It's at the very top. Any vehicle of the Cadillac brand, which has been extensively and personally stylized by its stylish African-American owner.
Yeah.
Has to be a stylish African-American.
Yeah, 100%.
And then, the quote, man, you have a nice Black Elect. Wish I had one. And then the Black Elect driver says, you can't. You're white. And then the white guy, it just says, frown.
Facts.
Fucking Urban Dictionary has been a bomb for so long.
You know what I mean?
Who owns this shit? I don't
know. Here's the funny thing is, when we're on tour, people don't know how to say this shit, right? So it's Black Kill AC.
Black Kill AC.
It's Black...
Black Lilac.
Black Kill AC. Black Kill Lilac.
Yeah. It's pretty straightforward.
I think so too,
Black
man.
Black Elock.
Versus y'all's rap names, this shit's way easier to pronounce.
It's mad simple. So we just pitch it to people as Cadillac, but black. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Put the shit together. But
if they don't get that,
yeah,
they're not gonna get it.
100%.
I just want to say, in regards to the name, I guess how this interview even came about, back during South by Southwest, I was just doing some research, you know, just checking out the lineup, who's the headliners, as well as what local artists were here. And when I was going through the rundown of the list, that I saw the name, and like, that's the exact same thing that happened to me. I was like, who the hell is this? Like, the name just jumped out at me.
Right.
So like, I clicked and started doing some research, and I found out you guys were from around here.
Yeah. Yep.
Started going through your catalog, looking at the videos on YouTube, and I'm like, yo, and I brought it up to Ross. I'm like, these guys would be perfect for the podcast.
Yep.
Like, we love hip hop for one. They're from here, so like, we can help promote like a local artist.
Yeah. You
know? And then like, that, it all happened from there, and I reached out to Chris, and then everything happened.
Dude, the name worked.
Just getting his head bigger, man.
Fucking,
yeah, I'll take it.
Gassing him up, man. Just keep gassing him up.
Gas me up, baby.
Just one big victory lap he's taking.
Dude, you've been quoted as saying that nobody freestyles because everyone is terrible.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I noticed starting in like the early 2000s on BET was that, you know how they had the, what was the fucking...
Stop Friday?
Yeah, but everybody would roll in with a verse from either an old song or an unreleased song, and it was never freestyling, and it was always super obvious, and it was like, oh, okay, so now we're all just too afraid to take risks and actually fucking flow?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You go back and look at some of those.
I'm talking about the biggest names they brought in.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
A-list dudes.
Right, but
they didn't take the risks.
They don't freestyle, bro. I mean, a lot of them don't. You feel me? And they'll tell you. There's no one's ashamed of it. Like, and we talk about it because we're good at it. You know what I mean? And we know we can execute that shit. But at the same time, you know, freestyle's not making niggas go platinum. You feel me? Yeah. So it's not that it's not like a valued as a commodity as it might. It used to be in the past.
Well, it makes sense, you know, because like, if you see, okay, like if Hove tries to get up and battle somebody and then something goes wrong, it's all negative.
They got shit to lose. They got shit to lose.
Okay, I get that.
And people want to hear a dope verse. Like on the, if you watch the Funkmaster Flex or like a Hot 9-7 freestyler, like the Sway or Kent Westwood, people don't care if it's written or not.
True.
People just want to hear a dope verse, you know?
For what, I guess for me, being in Houston when Lil Flip was the freestyle king and freestyling was the thing, and like every fucking white and black kid in Mexican kid and Asian kid in the whole city was freestyling with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just include all of the races. Just
include them all.
All of the races.
But think about, and I fuck with you. I have the leprechaun with a sign on the back that says, let's go fishing. I'm there. But think about the bars, though.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
They're not great.
You know?
Right, right.
That's the thing. That's the trade-off. I'm a Swisher House nut. I love it all. Now, there's some exceptions with Chamillionaire, Paul Wall. Their freestyle was on another level. Chamillionaire particularly.
Cam was my dude, the first guy ever where I was like, this is my number one rapper that I love in the whole world.
It was Cam, bro. Chamillionaire. But you know why, and back to like what I was making, do you know why the Flip shit and the Freestyle King shit and all that shit was tight and people fucked with it?
Why?
Because they could do it.
That's a good point.
Because they could do it.
Right.
You know how many parties I went to where that's how the dudes rap?
White people could rap. Right, this is the way we
not
ball.
Just white people, bro. Anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm white, so it's easy
to get. Yeah, I got you.
Anybody. There you go.
Because rapping is hard, bro. Like, it's not easy to do. But that style, da 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 da.
Oh, yeah.
People fucked with it because they could do it, too.
This episode of RBP is also brought to you by Shinesty. New sponsor alert, motherfuckers. Pay attention. Your life is about to change for the significantly better. You have got to check out their ball hammocks. You heard me say that correctly. That was not a... I did not stutter. You go to Shinesty.com/Ross, Shinesty.com/Ross. And if you're wondering or you've ever thought to yourself, my God, I need to know what a ball hammock is. Guess what? You're about to fucking find out. Go, Shinesty.com/Ross. Look at these things. They're phenomenal. The spacious, supported ball hammock gives the boys, your two testies, the space and security they need. Like nothing you've ever experienced. Unique, hilarious patterns Shinesty provides. My favorite that I most recently got is the bald eagle ball hammock. There's just a giant eagle where your dick and balls are. That's funny. And then the rest of it is an American flag. My other personal favorite that I've been wearing around the house with no pants or shorts on just to freak out everybody who can see through my big windows is a hot dog complete with dressing, ketchup and mayonnaise and shit, right where your penis would be. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny to you? You're laughing. Hilarious designs, hilarious patterns, one of a kind, constructed from the finest material on earth, micromodal. Three times softer than cotton, natural moisture wicking, breathable so that you don't get swamp ass or sweat your balls off or whatever. This is disgusting, but it's necessary. It's necessary. They've got NFL team suits and overalls, Christmas suits and dresses, seamless thongs, four-way stretch Hawaiian shirts with a beer pouch, retro ski suits. That's just the tip of the iceberg. They got everything, guys and gals. You got to get yourself a ball hammock subscription, though, okay? There's benefits to this. The subscription saves you 35%. You get free shipping on every pair. No commitments. You can pause, modify, cancel whenever you want. Customize your subscription. Choose your assortment and frequency. They make sure you always have a fresh pair for your pair. Go to Shinesty.com/Ross. Shinesty.com/Ross. Ball hammocks by Shinesty. Your pair deserves better. Shinesty is letting my listeners, the RBP gang, get their first pair of subscription ball hammocks for only $5. Just head to Shinesty.com/Ross to try your first pair today. That's Shinesty.com/Ross to get your first pair of ball hammock boxers for only $5. Your balls will thank you. Dude, some of my favorite, like, old school dumbass rap tracks are, like, I can't even remember. There's one that's, like, it's not even Man or one of those.
Yeah,
it's,
that shit was dope.
Like, dude, a Big Tuck freestyle?
It's one where there's, like, seven different dudes on it, and they switch off every time.
No hook. You're talking about Wasness. You're talking about, and they all do, like, I might ride Candy Blue, and they change it up.
They start freaking out more and more and more as the song goes, and by the end of it, you can't even understand what they're saying, because their voice cracking so hard.
Wasness, Banging Screw 2000.
Dude, but we loved all that shit.
But you feel it,
for that
though.
Reason, because we could keep up with the lyrics.
Yep.
It wasn't so fast that we couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
We could understand them, and we could rap along with it, because it was pretty fucking simple.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of those fools were gangsters for real, too.
Oh!
So it was,
did not fuck around.
Right, that was the other part of it. But again, you had your like a Zero, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite rappers of all time. He ain't freestyling.
No.
Not like, you know, he's going
okay,
to,
so like, okay,
but it's
so
not, you're not going to get
Mos City Dawn.
Yeah.
Parentheses, freestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's written. It's a written verse.
It sounds like a freestyle to me.
But
did he write it? I don't know if he wrote it.
There's no fuck. If he went in the booth and spit Mos City Dawn,
he probably did.
Just as a flow,
he probably did.
Yeah.
Well, then
you could tell by the way it's. You could tell by the way,
dude. It's so good.
They may have edited it. Maybe they like they do it with Wheezy with the edit parts. But I don't think he wrote that.
Some shit is advanced, man. I mean, some people. I would say that we're definitely up there with the top freestylers, if not the best.
So you're not afraid to go at people?
No, anybody.
Or go with it.
And that's a challenge that him and I would take on any day. If someone was dumb enough to give us the opportunity, like if Jay or Kanye or someone was like, I'll battle you, like, okay, nigga, let's go.
Yeah,
there would be no hesitation, you feel me? Because I'd be like, oh, this is my moment. I'm about to eat this motherfucker.
So do y'all go at anybody with the intention of trying to bait that? Or you don't?
Nah, because it's not...
For the rap game.
No, it's there's no point, you know what I mean? If some shit pops off, though, like, please trust, like, someone will get fucking destroyed. Like, that's what we do. That's a second nature to us, you feel me?
Right.
But yeah, it's the art form of, like,
he
freestyle. It's just not
serious saying this,
because it's real shit.
I don't recommend that at the moment.
This is real shit. But yeah, some people are advanced with freestyle, man. So I don't doubt that some heads have gone in there and just spit some shit, like, from the dome.
Okay.
That's been on record. That's been dope, because there's times where we're freestyling it, and you know, you just catch a win, and I'll hear him when he's in the zone, and he just, I can tell when he's in the zone because he's dropping dope shit,
yeah.
And he's freaking himself out. Yeah. Yes. It's the same way for me. I'm like, what
I
the
can
fuck?
Tell. I can
oh,
look
shit.
At it and know he'll start to like, he starts yeah. to like, he starts Spaz to shake his head back and forth. Oh, I'm like, oh, here we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
fuck,
yeah.
This is getting real.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and that's one of the things about Most City Don and any good, when you, because you're not kidding, you can tell the difference.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
fucking feel it. Yeah. Like the energy of an actual flow versus, oh, this dude wrote this shit
right.
down.
Most City Don, like, as the song goes on, he gets more hype and more
and
hype.
More,
and you could, so you can tell he's getting right. himself hype because he knows he's smashing it.
Yes, right. And then by the end of it, you're just ready to explode.
Yeah,
like, run
yeah.
through a motherfucking
yeah.
wall.
That's, yeah, that's one of the greatest rap songs ever, bro.
Zero, as a rapper, as an artist, this is one of the things I love so much about music, right? Is that it's an art form that you can harness the emotion of. It can get you through a day
yeah. yep.
or through a yep. workout or through a fucking breakup
yeah.
or yep. like the hardest time in your life or
can get you
it
hyped
can help
up to
you
go get
celebrate
it.
Some shit.
Yeah,
or like,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And Zero, for me, when I was a teenager and I was like fucked up and hated the world and thought everything was trash.
Life is a struggle and
that
pain.
Was my yeah. boy. It was like, dude, I was yeah. my white ass.
Yeah, bro.
In burbs of Houston, like yeah. laying in bed at night listening to Joseph Wayne McVeigh.
Yeah, bro.
Rap about like being a Crip and
yeah,
fucking
bro.
Around in the streets.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Crip or a Blood?
He's a Crip. He's
okay,
a Crip.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to speak on it.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Allegedly. Yeah.
And yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he spoke on it enough
yeah,
back in
yeah.
his early shit that it was
yeah.
pretty fucking clear. Yeah, that was just, it was just, I mean, that's the beauty of music.
The white boys love Ro.
But it can bring yeah. anybody from any walk of life.
Yeah.
You can oddly relate to it.
Yeah.
Into
yeah.
a room together. It, even though I couldn't feel his exact problems, like we yeah. had different issues. I
right.
wasn't worried about, you know, ending up in fucking county jail when I was 12.
Right.
I worried
right.
about that later. And then it happened. But I shouldn't have been able to understand what he was saying.
Yeah.
Right.
I shouldn't have been able to feel his pain or yeah. any of his walk. We had nothing in common.
Yeah.
And yet, I identified more with him and his music than any other person on the face of the earth for like
right.
5 years of my life.
Yeah. Right.
I think rap, I think why rap does that and why people have such an emotional connection to it, more so than any other music. Country's kind of the same, but I think rap's starting to overtake even that. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason is it speaks directly to the heart. Because it's spoken word.
And to real people.
Yeah, it yeah. speaks directly yeah. to like real people. And I think when you look at like my life growing up, like the same thing, like I was fucking with Ro, but all the white dudes, all like to the most like preppy white dude, to the hood, because you have that, you have the preppy white dudes and you have the hood white dudes. You have the preppy Mexican dudes and you have the hood Mexican dudes.
Sure.
You have the preppy Asian mm-hmm. dudes, preppy black dudes. But Zero transcended
all of them shit.
So I would be fucking with my homeboy that was had the packs when we were in senior year of high school, and I'd be fucking with him, tattoos, and we were 16, and he's listening to Zero.
Right.
And then I go to the homie's house, he's in Westlake, we're about to go out, he's listening to Zero.
So why didn't he ever blow on like a national level?
Yeah. Well, I think, I'm not gonna speak on the time
well,
situation,
okay.
there's
situation, but here's what
yeah,
I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I think that certain dudes, how can I phrase this correctly?
Aren't
careful, nigga, be
that?
Careful.
Yeah, yeah.
But
certain
not.
Dudes are in the street, bro. Certain
right,
dudes are
right.
in the street and certain dudes are industry dudes.
Okay.
Some rappers can do both.
Right.
Some rappers can only do one or the other. And he's not the first dude that I thought was more cut out for the street than the boardroom. Because here's the thing, man, like a lot of that Houston stuff was kind of a means to an end for the labels.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that I think that Zero was making so much money independent at that point.
Yeah.
He kind of saw it for what it was, maybe. A, I don't know this for sure. I'm just saying.
That's
or
what
B,
it felt like.
Or B, who's going to control him, man?
Yeah, I thought they deemed yeah. him unsafe.
Yeah, like
I thought
gonna,
they looked at
gonna,
Ro and they said,
who's really going to
yeah.
tell him what to do?
They were like, we can package Paul Wall, we can package
yeah.
Slim
right,
Thug,
right.
Yeah.
we
Chameleon
can package Air. Cam,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but we cannot package this motherfucker.
I think yeah. you can. I think you can package him. I think you can package him. I think that. I just think that
they were scared to though. Is the thing
for me from a shark like a shrewd business perspective, the more scared I am, maybe me, the more money we can make.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I think, it wasn't so much the fear factor because you had dangerous guys before that were rappers. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
But I don't think it was the danger factor. I think it was the factor that he was unpredictable. You didn't know what he was not from a danger standpoint.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You didn't know if he was gonna make shows. You didn't know if he was. You couldn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
you know what
always
I mean?
Been the thing with
yeah,
him. Though, yeah,
you couldn't. I don't feel like you could ever really. If I was from a boardroom perspective, you could ever really say, okay, I know that I can front this dude half
right.
a million.
Right.
And we're gonna.
But that's right. The thing that's so funny about them I'm sorry, we're talking about random shit. But
no, it's not random.
Like, okay, Slim Thug.
Yeah.
Him and Ro do shit all the time now.
Yeah, yeah.
Slim
yeah.
is the boardroom guy.
Right.
But he's fucked with the major labels. He went and did Star Tracks for a little bit. He did the Clips thing with Pharrell.
Yep.
And then he came back and went independent again.
Right. I think that's where he wants to be, though, man.
Yeah, and he's clearly figured out the formula for himself.
Because Pharrell played ball with him, though, too. Like, that's Pharrell didn't do him dirty.
He gave him a deal that made sense for him, and that's the only reason Slim accepted it, is because he's always been that guy.
Right.
But then he's like best friend, or I don't know, best friends, but they have a business relationship at the very least, him and Ro, and they do music together all the time. And it's like, okay, well, how come? Because that's the two versions you're talking about. Yeah. It's the guy who, Slim's not there, but if he had had a bit more, he could have gone that boardroom route and been this dude that was like just a brand and just hammering out hits and doing that thing. But he stayed the other way and went.
He got
the other
a pretty
way.
Big push too.
Fuck yeah, dude!
Like a commercial.
The
push?
Already
yeah.
platinum.
Oh, yeah.
Album Sorry. Got a ton of promo.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Yeah.
I mean, think about the kind of dude Slim Thug is. He's a born and bred hustler. Hustler for real. He had like businesses. He flipped.
Has a ton of them.
Yeah. So I just think like they're again. Most of those guys are like that. Like look at Cam. Look at Paul Wall.
What about my guy that was on a bunch of the Dre records? I don't know why I'm forgetting homie's name. Yeah, he was on a bunch of Dre records from Houston. Yeah, we did a bunch of shows.
Oh,
with
Devin the Dude.
Devin the Dude.
I mean, he's stamped. Like, yeah, he's. Stamped.
I don't think he went complete industry.
No, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, the source. Yeah, he did. I mean, he never was. He never was. He never was a. Major act, but he definitely had a major deal at one point. They did a
he absolutely did.
They did a push with him in the early 2000s. Sourced an article on him.
Okay, yeah,
a lot of features.
A lot of features.
They did. Say like out the Doobie Ashtray or something.
I love
harder
Devin.
Than ever. Was it harder than ever?
Yeah,
I think it's harder than ever.
Yeah, that fool was a beast. Yeah.
I love Devin.
I don't know if it's called hard.
That motherfucker is permanently high.
I know, dog.
His face, dude. It's something about his face just makes me happy.
Yeah,
he doesn't even have to speak. Makes you feel high. Looking at him, I'm like. I'm gonna go smoke.
Yeah,
I need to get on the level of Devin. But
back to your question though. Like, I think hip hop is probably the most relatable genre right now because by far it deals with the everyday struggle more than any other genre, in my opinion. You feel me? Like, country is probably the next closest to it because they
country,
also talk about
the
real country,
shit.
Right? But if you look at other genres beyond that, you look at rock or alternative. These fools are, you know, they're talking about
fantasy.
Yeah, they're talking about depression or fantasy or ex-girlfriends.
I was gonna bring up like, all right, so I'll give you an example: Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. Sure.
You ever listen to a Red Hot Chili Peppers song and then go,
"One of my favorite bands."
Yeah, they're dope.
Fucking
amazing.
Fucking amazing.
Oh, I love them.
Dude, they don't understand anything.
They're a thrash band.
They're great, bro.
Fucking say anything. The lyrics are nonsense.
The melodies are great.
Oh man,
you fuck with System of a Down?
Yeah, a lot.
Okay. All right.
Huge.
I mean, they We're don't. Good. They say less.
No. What?
No, they say it's more. Like,
they say
more. They
say a lot, man.
Maybe
some
too much.
Songs,
maybe
they
too
say
much.
Fucked up shit. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Look, I can listen to a System of the
Who's better live?
Shit.
Probably Red Hot Chili.
I don't know.
System of a Down.
System of a Down, their drummer's a fucking beast.
Actually, that guy.
Nah,
I would like to see both. I wouldn't compare them. I wouldn't compare them.
I've seen both.
Whatever.
I haven't seen either one.
What the fuck even were we talking about?
We're talking. You're about to go into some weird point, Sauce Ross. I don't know what the fuck you're about
you
to get.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, because they don't say anything. About
it. they don't say shit.
No,
though,
we're just
man.
Talking about how hip hop is. It talks more about the struggle.
Oh, and it matters. Well,
Under the Bridge, man.
Yeah, it's a fuck, dude. Come on, I don't want to do this.
okay, I'm sorry.
No, but it's like it's beautiful because you're absolutely right. It speaks to real people in real situations and real everyday scenarios, and it's like. Why are we just now figuring out that that's the way to connect with each other? Or I guess we're not, but like I'll give you the worst example of that being discovered ever. The Donald Trump presidential campaign.
Yeah.
They figured out, fuck, all we got to do is connect with these everyday random ass white people throughout the country.
That whole campaign was a mixtape for rednecks, bro.
Yes.
That whole campaign, he was just dropping bars. Lock her
he
up.
Was
lock her
bars.
Up. Like,
that first like, debate, I'm like,
build a wall.
The whole thing.
Lock her up. Homie had bars. Dude, it was a mixtape.
It's like they went into a room and they were like, we need 300 phrases that we can use to just fuck people.
Yeah.
And then they came up with like 500 of them.
Yeah.
And they've been rolling them out ever since. But like, it's all marketing and it's all.
Yeah.
It's anyway, but the point is, it spoke to.
It hit them,
real people in people that felt like they had not been paid attention to or whatever, and it worked. And like, well, that's always been the thing with rap.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
So how did the fuck did that work so well that we couldn't combat it with like some?
I thought you were about to say. So why the fuck did Kanye fuck with Trump?
Well, also that, but we don't. I don't want to.
Yeah, we don't get into that.
It's too depressing to
that's
even
a
talk
whole
about.
Another ball of wax.
You should tell them about your Black Republican theory though.
Oh, okay. So I have a theory. It's probably not going to work now because I'm going to say it out loud.
Yeah,
but I have a theory that if you really want to make a lot of money in a short amount of time, you just have to pretend to be a black Republican. Like, but it has to be right, like a legit act.
Right now. Look,
right now.
At this
you
point.
You could make a shit ton of money. Oh my God. You just have, but you couldn't have made any other political opinions. Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're like maybe a little bit younger and you haven't put any like stark political opinions online yet,
you're clean. Yeah.
Consider pretending to be a black Republican.
You'd be on Fox
real quick.
You'll
make a lot of money in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, but then it's like, then you have to live with it the rest of your life.
That's it.
Nobody lives with anything the rest of their life now. Who lives with
it? That's true.
Like Vince Neil did 30 days and he killed somebody. You don't have to live with the rest of your life.
Your slate's clean in
two, three years. Oh, man, I was wrong about all that stuff. Everybody be like, you saw, like, bro.
We forgive you.
Everybody likes a turnaround story.
You know how gullible the Democrats are? You could be like, hey, man, you could be black and be like, I used to be a Republican, and now I'm a Democrat. And give, like, a speech at the DNC, and they'll pay you for the speech.
Well, but yeah, but you're talking about, like, on that, like the street level, no one's ever going to forgive you, right?
They'll forgive you, man.
They'll forget, bro.
They'll forgive you, man.
What?
The street level, you got all the money. You don't where you live. You live around. Yeah. You live in this motherfucker. You don't live around no black people.
No, but I'm saying if you were a black dude who then saw the opportunity and was like, well, fuck it, I'm going to get rich off being a black Republican for a few years.
We're going to see if someone's going to do it now.
They've been doing it. People are used to someone's going to do it.
Or Fox, or be like one black dude, they roll out.
Don't care about that, man.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah, but here's the real deal. When I see black pundits and black Republicans on TV talking, like, I look at them, and honestly, I just kind of dismiss them. I'm just like, well, I don't really fuck with them. You know what I mean? But I don't hate them. I'm not like trolling this motherfucker.
Well, no,
I'm just like,
this. Say some real shit, bro.
Some of them do, but also, in my head, I'm like, well, these motherfuckers are going after a bag.
You're gonna check.
So, fuck not, it.
Some of them like, probably believe it, but the younger ones.
I love that y'all recognize this.
Yeah, I don't know
this.
How much they believe that.
That is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Owens, you know how much money she made? Oh my God.
Dude, I need to know how many of the. I need to know. If every single black dude on Fox is just like, I'm getting this money.
I'm sure. No, they're definitely saying
they're
that.
Definitely saying
they're definitely
that
saying
regardless.
That. The question is, how much do they believe what they're saying? They're definitely doing it for the money.
Dude, that's fucking
old black guys.
They're not
money.
Saying it
that's
out loud, that. But it's in the back of their
head. No, I mean, in their head.
Oh, yeah.
You think Juan Williams wants to argue with the Jesse, whatever his name is? For real. That dude's like, that guy, you know what I'm talking about, too. That guy's like,
absolutely.
Goofball.
Yeah.
You think Juan Williams wants to argue with that fool?
No.
The civil rights movement. You think he wants to argue with that fool?
It's facts.
Okay, what the fuck? Dude, I very much appreciate y'all taking the time to be here with me and AJ today. This has been a shitload of fun.
I
want to give you an opportunity, though, here at the end to talk about, first of all, where can we listen to your music? Where can we follow y'all? Where can we look for upcoming shows? How do we keep up with your careers?
So you want to, the place we're most active is on Instagram. It's just Black Lack Music and BLACKILLAC Music. So hit us there because that's where we put all of our newest shit that we're keeping up to date.
Instagram is my shit.
Yeah, but you can find everything on any type of music platform you're on. So if you're on Spotify, you're on Amazon, you're on Apple Music, whatever. Just look up Black Lack. You can find us there. But yeah, that's the move. Like really what we're looking to do right now is to grow, you know, our base of people that fuck with us. And that's what we've been doing. So,
that's what we're trying to do here today, too.
Yeah, 100%. So, get on the Instagram, follow us there. That'll lead you to the other shit. That's where we put all our new music up and any shit we're dropping or doing.
Awesome.
So
awesome. What was y'all's most recent release was in July?
We just dropped something the other day. It's a tap remix. It's a track that we did here with our homie N.A., so that shit is live on SoundCloud right now. And you can find all the information on that up there, too. But, yeah, we have, we got shit out. It's out there. Get it.
Word.
Get it. Follow
Go
us on
to
Spotify.
These guys,
yeah, subscribe, all that shit. It helps out.
Support
it helps
them.
Out,
support them for coming through and doing the show with us and being entertaining as shit. If you have not listened to any of their music ever, you are in for a treat.
Yep.
Do y'all have any other personal social accounts or any other shit you want to throw out before we get the fuck out of here?
If you want to find our individuals, his is Franchise.
PHRANCHYZE.
And then mine is just Zilly, ZEALE.
So.
Where you can find it. There's where you find us talking shit about each other.
Hell yeah.
Fox with each other.
Oh, hell yeah. Simple enough. Black Alack, thank you so much for being with us here today. Y'all go and listen to their music.
Yep.
All right, AJ, that was Black Alack.
Dude, that was a dope interview. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Those guys are...
They're
pretty,
great.
pretty fucking awesome. So, Zilly and Franchise, we appreciate them taking the time again. Or, I'm sorry, Z and Fran.
Yeah.
That's what we get to call them.
Yeah, let's get it right.
Because we're boys now.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But y'all go check out Black Alack, listen to them, support them. AJ, you did a great job. AJ's been doing like, it's not cold calling.
No, just...
It's not even cold emailing, frankly. It's, you're finding the correct contacts and the representatives of these different musicians and famous people and celebrities and artists that we're trying to get on the show. And this is one of the ones that's worked out so far, Black Alack. And you got to be proud of how that went.
Yeah, basically, I just wanted to, you know, help the show grow. And I know one good way to do that, obviously, is to get some more guests on here, just other people to kind of, you know, I guess expose some other people to the podcast.
Dude, because for sure.
Obviously, once they're in here, we can hook them with our content, with our regular, usual programming.
I mean, the thing I love about it, man, is like, all right, for them as an interview, they're a group that I've been familiar with since their inception.
See, I didn't know that. I thought you didn't know about them until I brought it up to you.
No. So, like,
I didn't know they date all the way back to the old company.
Yeah, back at Grand X, they got brought up several different times, like, as an option for, like, could we potentially get them to perform? Could we, we were going to do,
like a live event or whatever?
Yeah, in the office or whatever, we were going to do a live event or, like, a party in our big-ass, like, warehouse office that we had. And at one point, they had come up as potential, like, oh, we could do something podcast-wise with these guys at some point, maybe. But this was literally 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was when they were... They didn't even barely fucking exist.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that was back when they were getting started.
So it was. I mean, I'm honestly a little bit amazed that I even heard about them then, because I think it might have been like literally the fucking week they started.
Yeah.
And then now we had them on the show, and they were fucking hilarious.
They're great.
Before we got on mic, we were talking about with Fran porn in the 90s.
Yeah.
For about 10 minutes.
It was wild.
And it was fucking hilarious. And then we forgot to talk about it in the episode.
But you know what? They'll be back in the future.
What we said, next time they come on.
They'll be back again. So.
We will talk about it again. Those dudes' career just, it's so interesting that they, I mean, what a weird way to get your career flowing, right? You, no pun intended. They're boys with Gary Clark Jr.
That's pretty crazy right
from
there.
From high school.
Because Gary Clark Jr. is one of the biggest acts like on the planet right now.
Gary does like the Victoria's... Gary is married to a Victoria's Secret fashion show model, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Gary does like the fucking Grammys.
He's like the Jimi Hendrix of our generation.
He is, actually.
Honestly, like, I don't even feel like that's like a...
It's not. Yeah. That's not an exaggeration. Other than that he doesn't like... I don't think he like headbands up with acid. That was always the thing about Jimmy. The best Jimi Hendrix story ever was that he did Woodstock with a sheet of acid under his headband and let it sweat into his flesh as he was performing.
I've heard about that.
I still don't.
Were you
that.
A Jimmy fan at all?
Yeah, I loved. I mean,
or
I'm not,
do you still go back and listen to any of that?
Not in a way that I feel comfortable calling myself like a huge Jimi Hendrix fan, but like, dude, I go listen to old Jimmy every once in a while. Well,
if it's just
tread.
Like on somewhere, like if you're just somewhere and it's playing, it's like you have no Hell problem.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix is tight.
Yeah,
that's good. Like. White people who smoke weed like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Not quite Pink Floyd level.
No, I like Pink Floyd a lot more than I like
gonna say, I know you ride heavy for Pink Floyd.
But I also did acid when I was listening to Dark Side of the Moon for 4 hours straight. So that's like permanently
That's
embedded.
The only way to listen to them, so.
It's permanently embedded. No, it's not. They make
You can't
shit.
Listen to them if you're not on acid.
Dude, they have good songs you
that's,
can listen
that's
to.
Like, I think that's in the like.
In the fucking album notes?
Yeah.
Please take your LSD hit before playing Dark Side of the Moon. But AJ, great job, though, dude.
Yeah,
those guys were phenomenal.
And just to speak more on that, too, like, in the future, we're trying to get some more guests on here.
Absolutely.
There's some stuff in the pipeline. You know, I'm doing research, seeing who's coming through town, seeing who's popping right now that we could potentially get. And just, you know, kind of just, like you said, finding a point of contact, shooting a little inquiry.
That's all it takes.
Email.
Finding the right point of contact, which I've been impressed with you so far.
Yeah,
that's
you.
A very difficult thing to do.
It is, but I figured out a pretty good system of doing this.
Yo,
so.
You know Tyler Childers got back to us?
Oh, he did?
Yeah, so AJ, another one of the artists he hit up was Tyler Childers, who I spoke about on RBP 229, how much I enjoyed his show and everything, and like his PR or his manager got back to us.
Oh, yeah, I knew about that.
And then I hit her back, and then she hit me back, and then we've been doing this. I took you off
the
CC.
Oh, so is that something else that's in the pipeline right now?
It looks like, if I had to guess, I'd say we have like a 20% chance.
Okay.
But that's better than nothing.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, this podcast now... The size that we're at now and the listenership that we have.
Oh, yeah.
It's very possible to land a lot of these bigger
names. No, I mean, that's what's
like,
so nice about it.
I'm pretty confident in saying that, you know, we could get someone like him or like some of these mainstream artists or comedians or actors. Like,
it was funny when I emailed her back, I said, I was like, I promise you, I saw Tyler at ACL over the weekend. I'm like twice the fan I was before seeing him live. He was incredible. And then I was like, I promise you, we will be the most fun he has doing a show this year, aside from Fallon or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she was like, man, fuck you. That's a funny joke. But no, he was on Fallon like a couple months ago.
So yeah, he was. He's huge right now.
No, it'd be incredible to be able to get him on. And anytime y'all have a guest, and don't say George Clooney or Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, obviously,
not there
like,
yet.
A-list actors.
We're not there yet. Don't be a psycho about it. But...
People that are on the come up, they're like hot right now.
And even
they're
like, just be reasonable. If you think we might have a shot,
you know.
Let AJ and I know, and we will chase literally whoever the fuck. But anyway, Blackalack ended up taking up all of the time we had for today, and I'm glad they did, because that was a hell of a lot funnier and more interesting than anything else I had to talk about.
It's a great way to cap off this week of shows.
It was, for real. And then when obviously next week I'll just bump these segments until Monday, and we'll get to them on RBP 231. But before you head out to take on the world, it's time for some very important announcements. First of all, if you want more RBP, there's one place to get it, patreon.com/RossBolin Podcast. Guess what? There's going to be video of the Blackalack interview on there, I believe.
Yeah.
Just the interview part. There won't be this part, but just the interview with Blackalack. I believe it will be up. I don't know, Grant, what do you think? Grant's looking at me like I'm insane. Maybe a few hours, maybe tomorrow. Who knows? Soon. But at the last minute, we actually did get video of that interview, and it was...
I'm glad we did.
AJ and I were incredibly entertained. I hope everyone else is. So yeah, that'll be on patreon.com/RossBolin Podcast, as well as each month you get ad-free two additional podcasts, the Hotline Call Extravaganza, and a special guest episode as well, which will be coming last week of October, I believe, is our special guest episode.
I have a question about that.
For the month of October. Yeah, yeah.
Is it going to be spooky? Are we doing a spooky-themed...
Oh, we will be absolutely doing Halloween content, yes.
I think we should I'm going to pitch this to you now. I think the last week of October, it should just be all Halloween-themed
I'm totally in for that.
I'm talking about, like, ghost stories.
Oh, yeah.
Voicemails that are, like, like, spooky-related.
Voicemails, serial killers.
Yeah, go heavy on the serial killer AJ, content. Movies.
Great minds think alike. I love this. Yeah. It's going to be a fun October. We're going to have a lot of fun, and even more fun on patreon.com/RossBolin Podcast as well. You have two legal obligations that you've been saddled with having listened to this entire podcast. The first is that you must rate and review. Now, not anywhere. You got to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. If you listen on Spotify or SoundCloud or wherever, that's awesome. I appreciate you no matter where you listen. But if you would, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts, as it is still the biggest platform for podcasting and the one where we can make the most momentum moving up the charts. So, two or three sentences about why you love the show, 5 stars, and boom, you're done on Apple Podcasts. You can check that box and move on to your second and final legal obligation to tell one friend, family member, coworker, or neighbor, any one individual you know that you're like, you know what, this person might enjoy the Ross Bolin Podcast. Maybe it's today. You can think of your friend who likes rap music more than any of your other friends and send him this episode with our interview with Blackalack and tell him, hey, Ross interviewed this up-and-coming Austin rap duo that's incredible, and they were super interesting, had a great conversation about hip-hop. You should listen to it. Maybe that's the way you do it. I don't care how you do it.
Also, by the way,
yeah,
they will be at ACL for anyone that's going to ACL.
This weekend.
Do you have it pulled up on
Yeah,
there?
I just want to let people know. Pull up when they're... Okay, Saturday the 12th, on the VRBO stage, they will be playing Blackalack Will from 11:45 a.m. to 12:30 a.m.
Okay.
P.m., sorry. There is no... That would be a... very long show if they performed for 12 hours straight.
Yeah.
No, 11:45 to 12:30. I'm going to go out there, AJ. You want to go out there?
I mean, I don't know.
What do you mean?
I don't know if I'm going to go to ACL in general. So
yeah. Fair enough. We'll think about it. Maybe I can scoop us a couple one-day tickets if you want to go out there and watch these guys.
Can't you get a media pass? Because you have a podcast.
Man,
does that work for you?
I would have had to do it like months ago.
But you could have easily gotten one, right? I want to say yes, because...
I'm guessing this year, yes, because we're off on our own doing our own official thing without, like, a TFM attached to it or anything, like,
dude,
for instance...
What if we did a live episode from ACL?
Oh, that'd be sick.
Maybe one day. That would actually be pretty tight.
As an example of us becoming more official, we got credentialed for the Austin Film Fest this year for the first time.
Oh, really?
Time.
I didn't know that.
Barrett
news
and I,
to me.
Barrett and I, for OCC.
That makes more sense anyway. That's
our movie and TV podcast. But we're going to be going to Austin Film Festival.
Dude,
and
that's
like, going to
be tight.
Dude, it's fucked up because they sent me this list. Like, here's the list of all the panelists and filmmakers that are going to be there. And it's like a fucking very serious list of like, I mean, don't get me wrong, a shitload of names I don't know also, but then some like really actual powerful, cool people that we could, I think Benioff and Weiss are included on this list.
You know what? You should try to scoop up some people to talk to for OCC you're there.
That's all we're going
to
be doing.
Because that would be awesome if you can get a bunch of these, like, even if it's just for a few minutes, you know, just to scoop somebody up.
Oh, for sure.
Hear from them for a little bit.
My point being, though, I have no idea what to do with this. I've never been in this position before where it was like, all right, here's all your contacts. Now go and book up all these people.
That's exciting, though.
It is, but we have like a studio available for Friday and Saturday
Dude, this is like a legit operation.
No, but now I have to go and figure out, like, okay, there's 500 people on this list. Who do we want to talk to? And
I mean, you and Barrett can probably figure that out amongst you two, kind of narrow it
down.
Between
our two brains, you'd think we'd be able to do stuff, but but we're both very fucking busy.
One and a half brains.
One and a half. I have a good quarter. He's got one and a quarter. That's one and a half total.
Yeah.
Right? AJ, where can, and thank you again for being here today and every day that you've been here, obviously, and for setting up the interview. Where can everybody follow you on social media and hear more from you?
As always, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Capital AJ.
Spell it.
CAPITALAJ. Hit me with a follow.
Fuck yes. What else? We're on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast, Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod. You can follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WRBOLEN. Also, holler at me on twitch.com/BossRolin, BOSSROLEN. It's Ross Bolin with the R and the B reversed. You'll figure it out. We're going to be doing live streams of this of this podcast, RBP, live, starting as soon as maybe next week, maybe the week after that, maybe a couple. I don't know. We're doing
raw and uncut.
We're ironing still. We have full video in our studio now, and the guys at Permanent Record have been kind enough to get up and running for us, and we're going to be moving into the Twitch realm with that video as soon as next week. And if you're on twitch.com/BossRolin, you'll be able to watch live. Then, after the fact, that video will only exist on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, at least at the beginning. We'll see how things go from there, and I'll decide how I want to use it and distribute it. Also, you'll be able to find a lot of the video on social media as AJ and our other fantastic interns like Matt and
we gotta get them going, man.
We will.
They're ready to start. You know,
they're gonna
cranking
be cranking
out
videos for us as well. So y'all,
we're gonna have like a nice little, you know, well-oiled machine.
Oh, it's
running.
Gonna be a sexy bitch of a machine. She's gonna have big fake bolts strapped to her chest. What's happening right now? That'll do it for RBP 230, recorded and produced by Mike Moody and Grant Davis at Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. We will be back Thursday.
We'll be back Monday
for episode 231. RBP 231 coming Monday. Podman gets paid. Strength and honor. Gang, gang, gang. Peace be with you and also with you.
But yeah, dude, like, okay, I'm gonna tell you a funny story. I was a freshman in high school, okay? And this is a long time ago. I'm old. So this is a freshman. I was a freshman in high school.
How old are you?
35.
I'm 32.
I just turned 35 in September.
We both look young.
Yeah, now we're doing good. So this fool, me, I'm trying to find some porno, but this is like 1999. This is like 2000, bro.
Stone Age.
Right, so this is dial-up, right? So it wouldn't do it every time, but the way that dial-up works is it's a fucking number that calls an exchange, right?
Yeah.
Then you access the, think of it as like two things. So you access the phone, T1 portion of the phone line, right?
Yeah.
So in my numeric string, in the access string, it would have 911, okay?
Yeah.
So what would happen was when the access string would hit and you would hear the it would dial 911, and the cops would come to my house, okay? But this wouldn't happen every time. This happened maybe, like, twice before, right? And I pinpointed what it was, but at that time, you can't – the way you're – you have no control of what the exchange number is. It's just going to be a random number assigned to your fucking IP address.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's late, bro, and I'm in my mom's office, and I'm on the computer, and I got the blanket over my head, and I'm fucking looking for Pino, and we're doing it, you know? And so I go to get online – and the shit dials 911, but I don't notice it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm fucking, and this is when, like, the Napster shit was going on. Like, the internet was, you could go to jail, bro. Like, niggas were legit getting busted, okay?
Stealing everything,
yeah. So this shit, I'm looking for Pino. All I hear is, boom, 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 on the door. I was like, the fuck? Boom, 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 boom. And I hear, police. And this nigga fucking shines the light in the fucking window.
No.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, right?
Dude,
I'm like,
that wood fest,
holy, dude. I was like, oh, no. So my dad is from Africa. My dad pops up.
This would be great for the podcast, by the way. This is a hilarious
story. Should I retell
it?
I'll retell it.
Yeah, I'll retell it. Yeah.
So my dad pops up, and my dad's like, yo, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, I don't know. And the cops show up, right? Okay, so remember, this is 1999, right? People, it sounds crazy to say this, but people don't know that much about the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't know shit about it, right?
Yeah.
So the cop is like, yo, what's going on? We've had a couple of calls for this house. And I started explaining the fucking exchange shit to the IP because I've always been a computer nerd since I was a little kid. I start talking for about 30 seconds and the cop's like, all right, is everything good? And he's like, yeah, he's like, have a good night. Pretty much. And he just walked off.
That's all you gotta do if a cop shows up, just start speaking like technical lingo.
Yeah.
He was like, all right.
Is everybody fine in the house? And I was like, yeah. So from that point on, I never did it again after that, though.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, never dialed 911 after that.
That's enough to scare any.
It scared the shit
out of me, teenage kid.
But it just randomly stopped happening after that cop thing.